Then going up Spurling, we have the Lochdale Community Center.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, this is another point that confused me a little. Who was responsible originally for the building of this community center?
A bunch of the residents of this thing. There was a regular fight over it, too.
Explain that a little more.
Well, there was two factions. And when it was already built, each faction was fighting for control. So finally, it was settled somewhere. But it was still all the time until they sold the municipality for a dollar. They sold the municipality for, you know, and the municipality allowed them to rent it $1 a year. That's what they paid the municipality to make.
This was sold to the municipality, well, likely not, for taxes, was it?
No, there was no taxes paid on it.
No.
Community hall, you see.
Oh, I see.
It was a non-profit organization, you see. So, but it was built by local people, by their own work, and, you know, they raising the money amongst themselves, and they did all the labor, and it was a good community hall. And it was a meeting place, of course, that all they had.
What would be an example of some of the things that would be on there?
Well, they had dances,
week?
They had whist drives, they had, when there's political meetings.
Right. What exactly is a whist drive?
Well, people come and play whist, that's all, and when you have 20 tables, we'll put that way, and when you play four hands or a couple of hands, whatever, one hand a table, then the winners of that hand move to the next table, and the losers supposed to change partners, so that you have a different partner all the time. Or some places that you keep the same partners all the way through.
Right. This was a very typical
whist drive,
form of entertainment
bridge,
at that
bridge,
time.
The same
right.
thing, you see.
Right.
And that's what I say. And then, of course, the rate payers used to meet there.
I imagine there was also church services on Sundays.
No, not until, not when we came here, but later, while I was secretary or treasurer of the Rape Association, I rented to the Four Square Gospel for $1 a Sunday.
Right, because later on there are some announcements later on in the 30s there are some announcements of church meetings and who was speaking and this sort of thing. Jay Adams
Jim Adams,
Spurling.
Dear old Jim. He was a farmer in the neighborhood. He had cows and we used to buy our milk and eggs from him. And an old timer.
Across the corner from him, then, was the East Hopes.
Well, the East Hopes, actually speaking, lived on Union Street.
Right.
And the house was way back, which is where the
lumber company now?
No, the name of the street. The lumber company ends at where the road into his house. But today that's closed off. There's a road in the
Carnegie?
The other one.
Dunedin? Duncan?
No, it'd be Carnegie, that's right. Carnegie ends where Mr. Easthope property house was. That when Carnegie was put through, the back door faces Carnegie and the front door was a little faced Union. That's where Easthope was, yes.
Well, Mr. Easthope was a little bit a different type of a person from the average community.
Oh, yes, Mr. Easthope owned the Easthope Brothers Engineering Works.
Where was that? Down on Hastings?
No, Easthope Brothers Engineering Works, right downtown.
Right downtown.
Yeah, right downtown.
Right. And as such...
very wealthy man.
One of the few men as well who likely had his own business.
Yeah.
Besides yourself, Mr. Jones on the corner, and a merchant by the name of A.E. Rose. Does that ring a bell? He was quite of a long distance down on Spurley, almost to Broadway.
What did Rose... I know, I can see him. What the devil did he do? What did he do? Rose.
He was the only other person that is listed as being a merchant or as being in business for himself
I don't know
at
what
that
he did.
Time.
I don't know what he did, I'm sure.
Right.
But Easthope, quite a big family of them, of course. His eldest son, of course, worked down there too.
Right. There are people listed in the area as gardeners. Would this mean that they would be running sort of large patches of gardens on their own, or would they be doing gardening work for other people?
No, the gardeners, there was one down on Halifax and Spurling. Halifax and Spurling, it was the gardener. You know, he grew plants and sold plants and sold flowers and what have you. Now, here, what do you call it? Real horticulture, what do you call them now today? He sold flowers, I'll put it that way. And grew them himself and sold them himself.
Right. In 1929, then, your store was the only one in what would be called the Lochdale area?
Yeah, it's the only store. Oh, yeah.
Right.
That's right.
Right. So this is something we'll come back to, because I've noticed that by 1939, there was a number of groceries in the area. And I'm interested to see how they could evolve in times of... By 1932, in the Burnaby broadcast, there is quite a lot of mention of merchants starting to refuse to take relief orders. There is some indication that the ones refusing most adamantly are larger concerns. Relate some of your experience about this time. This was a sort of when the height of unemployment hit, although it maybe maintained itself at this pitch over a number of years. This was sort of the worst that the situation had been.
Well, of course, Piggly Wiggly and Safeway, they refused that at this time. Told the municipality cash only. And no doubt some of the bigger merchants probably did the same thing. But the small merchants, by and large, stayed with the municipality, but the problem arose that you took the scrip, which it wasn't cash they gave them a scrip, and you gave them groceries for that amount, and you turned it in, and you didn't get your money. Well, if you want to buy more groceries, you kept on going to your reserve. Well, unless you're a very rich man, your reserve wasn't going to last forever. The problem then became, that's the greatest problem of the Depression, to go over to the municipality and almost go and beg for some money and probably get $25. Well, $25 in those days was a lot of money, but it didn't buy many groceries.
Right. On February 4th, 1932, when it's first revealed that Safeway was not accepting relief orders, it was found that, this is in February, and that they in fact had been paid up to the 1st of January. Now, that would indicate that they were, you know, that they were being paid off fairly quickly. Sort of what was your experience as to the rate or to how fast the municipality would reimburse you?
At the start, they were pretty good. You might wait a month, but of course it gradually and very slowly, and it's understandable. People weren't able to they paid their taxes, but the taxes were low. And the municipality grad, he had a certain amount of work that had to be done, had to be paid for. So we suffered.
Right.